The following is a production of DallasCowboys.com and the Dallas Cowboys Football Club.
How about them Cowboys?
Yeah! Go Cowboys!
Let's go, baby!
Are you ready for a break?
Yes.
Are you ready for a break?
Absolutely.
Ready for a break?
Yeah, and so much for that.
It's time for The Break on DallasCowboys.com.
We were on a break!
With Ambar Garcia, Brian Broaddus, Patrick Walker, and Derek Eagleton.
It is Tuesday, November 14th, 2023, season 19, episode number 70. Welcome to the latest edition of The Break. We are live from the SWBC Mortgage Studios at the Star. And we're taking a big picture look today. We're going to have lots of different topics and things we'll get into. I think Brian even has a little game for us at some point throughout the show.
Yeah.
So we'll have a little fun here today. But
it's going to be fun.
Oh, gosh. So let's start on a more somber note. We did hear this morning news that Leighton Vander Esch is indeed out for the season. He had been on IR, but Jerry confirmed this morning on his hit with Sean and RJ on The Fan that he is in fact out for the season. My question for you guys is, I know the Cowboys have made some moves. They've moved Marquise Bell and Sean Evans. They brought in, like, they have other options. What do you think of the linebacker position at this point?
Well, I tell you what, I think they've been really fortunate that you're starting to get better play from Clark, which I think has really helped. Throwing Bell into the mix, he's got such an awareness and such a nose for the ball. And you could play him in coverage, and you could play him, you know, in the run game. He's starting to get an understanding of, like, okay, I can't go toe-to-toe with these offensive linemen, so I got to go as fast as I can, you know, and try and get to the spot. You know, and I think his read, his react, all those things that – maybe its safety was a lot different for him. You play linebacker, it happens so much faster. And, you know, when you get those big guys coming off second level on, you've got to be able to move and get out of the way and get to the ball. And he's done a really nice job with that. They're just going to need to continue to find ways. The Evans play the other day I thought was suitable. He's a physical player. He likes to mix it up. You need a little toughness in at that position. I think he's providing it. They're going to have to try and find something else, though. And I mean that something else just for depth purposes, you know, just to make sure that that they get somebody, you know, maybe it's going to be poaching somebody off a practice squad, a signing, an elevation, something. I mean, I know they've got some guys on their practice squad that they could look at as well. But I just feel like they need one more guy because the others are holding it together. But, man, if they could find somebody, and it doesn't have to be the level of what we're seeing with the starters, but somebody that could play 10, 12 snaps a game, you know, and give those other guys a little bit of a break right now.
I think bottom line is Marquise Bell saved the day. In this situation, to say the least, like Brian said, I'll echo it, Marquise Bell has been sensational in coming in, and particularly when you put it in the context of he was a safety. Before now, he was a rookie before this season. So to get thrown into the fire in the fashion in which he did and to perform the way he's doing in both coverage and especially in run defense, you know, helping bottle up guys like Austin Ekeler and Saquon Barkley and the like, he has the potential to be something very special. So he saved the day. Damone Clark is now he's taking that leap. You're starting to see that as he gets more and more reps in the absence of LVE. He's really starting to find his groove, especially in the run defense as well. He's covering sideline to sideline, improving his coverage as well. And Rashawn Evans, first two elevations, not much there because as far as rep count goes, some special teams duties, but almost 49, almost 50% of the defensive rep count against the Giants. So he got a lot of burn, but that was his third elevation. So the question now comes, if they want to see him again this regular season, because the clock resets on elevations for the playoffs, if they want to see Rashawn Evans again this season, they're going to have to add him to the active roster. For me, I would do that and probably look at moving someone from the bottom of your defensive line, especially now that Rashawn Evans can contribute on special teams as well. But then to
throw Tyrus Weed at you?
I didn't want to say the name, but
well, I,
mean,
I could
just,
do it because I don't have to live in the building anymore.
That's not going to stop me.
Yeah, Tyrus Wheat.
But it makes sense because he's the more recent addition to the 53, yeah. and the situation in which he was added, it made sense. But now it makes more sense for you to keep Rashawn Evans on your active roster. But to Brian's point, you want to identify more depth there. So you have Marquise Bell, you have Damone Clark; those are your starters, presumably. Rashawn Evans, he gets heavily into that mix of that three-headed mix. But Malik Jefferson, he's out of elevations. In order for him to be seen again, he's going to have to be put on the active roster. I don't think you put – well, you're not going to put him and Evans on the active roster. But then they have Buddy Johnson, I believe, is his name, recently signed to the practice squad. So they have a couple bodies on the practice squad. Buddy doesn't have – well, he has all three elevations remaining. But I would still love to see one more from Malik Jefferson whenever that time comes. But dip into free agency, dip into some of these other teams' practice squads, maybe poach a guy so you can kind of bolster that bottom half of that linebacker core. But, yeah, Marquise Bell to the rescue.
It's been crazy, the fact that you have lost two key players in your defense. Mm-hmm. And Dan Quinn has done a really, really great job working with what he has. And credit to them, they've been able to hold up pretty good. But my concern is, how is that going to hold up once you start facing those teams in December and get past that? We got a taste of against the 49ers, and then we got a taste of the Eagles, and that was pretty good. They were able to stay in the game and compete, but it brings, you know, right now against the next few teams, I would bet on this defense to handle their job, but even then, we still see some of those weaknesses where they do still allow some of those big plays, those chunk plays. And I'm not gonna lie, if I wouldn't say I'm concerned for the rest of those last weeks of December. They're gonna be a big challenge.
You know, they could do something else. I know we were just mentioning names, but Wheat, Noah. You know, a corner there could probably be, you know, could be something that
would
that they maybe because
he's been inactive the last several
weeks, because what you could do is, to me, I kind of feel like that Wanye Thomas could play a little corner if he had to, but you got him, Israel Mukwamu, you know, you got some guys that could play. Maybe you could go a little bit lighter at that spot if they don't want to do anything with Wheat.
And Ashawn is back. He's been back for
exactly,
a couple, so.
Exactly.
So. If you're looking at this team long term, and I'm talking about next year after that, you're looking at this linebacker position, and with the assumption
there's a kid at Clemson named Trotter. I drafted his dad in 1998.
Jeremiah?
He's
former Eagle, right?
Eagle. I drafted his dad, and it's going to be exciting to watch his son play. And, yeah, you're going to be looking at linebackers.
Well, but that's also my question. I mean, obviously, you've got DeMarvion Overshawn, who we all loved coming out of camp on injured reserve.
Right.
You got him coming back.
Do you
still think at that point it's as important when you get to the draft? Or do you think, you have a little leeway? You're just trying to get depth once you get to this offseason if LVE can't continue his career.
I'm trying to go in. I totally – Overshawn, I think, was a really nice get and was going to be something that was going to be special. They need to go get a legitimate starting guy. They need to go get a guy that can play the run. You see him in, you know, how active. Trotter is a big physical kid. You know, he's just like his dad.
Yeah.
His dad was a mean guy. And
I'm getting old.
Yeah. No, seriously. Yeah. Jeez. I mean,
Trotter, it Samuel.
It happens.
No, you
Sertain.
Do. You watch all these. I mean, there's a tackle at Notre Dame, Alt. I scouted his dad, John Alt. Yeah. You know, and so you're like going, okay. You know, here I'm trying to get to the lake, you know, still scouting players.
Crazy.
But, here I am clueless.
Yeah. But that's. I think there's when we get to that day when it's, you know, when we have the green trash bag day, and hopefully it's after parade, that you can, you know, you when they look at their roster, they're going to look at running backs, they're going to look at linebackers, you know, for sure. Those are, I think, a couple of different areas that they're going to probably address.
Agreed. I mentioned this in sidebar. Just wait until we're scouting Aiden Diggs. then it'll hit home.
I'll be breathing dust, man.
But I agree. I wrote the impact article, which will go up on the .com here shortly. And something I floated was kind of future tense. Like, what does the Cowboys linebacker core look like as far as how they approach it via the draft in April? And I believe that, be it a premium pick or a mid or late day pick, you got to go and get another guy. Yeah. Now, where they go in the draft and do that, I think that would go to the level of confidence that they have in DeMarvion Overshown being able to come back from a torn ACL and hit the exact form that he was in when he was special in training camp this past season. And they've shown they are
from
not.
From your lips to God's ears. Exactly. Because what we've seen lately from these guys that have come back from injury is
they need
2 years.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, I mean, if there's anything that I would have learned being in the front office, if I was working for this crew, that like every time we think like we're going to get this guy back, but let's not act like that he's going to come in here and make the Pro Bowl, you know. And that's what I would learn, you know, because you've seen whether it's Pollard, whether it's Gallup. I mean, guys, it's Steele. Mm-hmm. Guys, it takes a little time for them to come back.
Yeah, but sometimes we have seen that happen where we all know that may be the case, but yet they don't bring in some extra help.
Right.
So yeah. We've seen that happen.
If it's me, I'm using a premium pick on the position. And again, this is not to knock what we just said as far as Marquise Bell is concerned and the step that Damone Clark has taken. But DeMarvion Overshown, yes, he was a training camp superstar and has the potential to be that. But going forward, but he is coming back from a torn ACL,
right.
And he's a rookie who's not played a single regular season snap yet. Right. You have to contextually put that in play. And it's a team, it's front office that's shown they're not adverse to using a first-round pick, obviously, on a linebacker. Did it with Leighton Vander Esch 40 seasons
Sean
later.
Sean Lee. Well, not first-round, but not for second-round pick. On,
but premium pick, still
right,
premium
right,
pick.
Right.
So using that, Sean Lee, Leighton Vander Esch, Michael Parsons, obviously. So I think this situation with LVE and the ominous tone surrounding his future, I think first-round, at least second-round pick is definitely on the table.
Not to get too far into that conversation, I do think there's a lot of other positions, though, that you're going to have to really think about this offseason when you start thinking about premium picks. You start looking at the offensive line. There may be some areas that you want to really address. Maybe even running back. Like, there's some cloudiness there. So I think there are a lot of positions that we'll talk about, and we'll get into that when we get into draft show and start figuring out what that looks like.
That running back room, I mean, there's going to be some, but I think we're a year late on those guys that, you know, last year that we really evaluated. That thing stretched.
Those backs?
Oh, my gosh. Yeah, that thing stretched way into, like, the fourth round on guys.
What round, just from my own knowledge, did A-Chain go in?
Third, I believe.
Was he third?
Was he a third-round guy? I think that guy. I think I'm right about that.
That guy out there in Miami, he is. He's on IR right now.
Fourth, fifth? Did I miss it? Is it?
Coming up, signal. Third.
Before he went to IR, he was looking really, really
good. I know this.
That speed is crazy.
That was my draft cat.
That speed is crazy.
That was my draft cat.
That was firsthand watching LSU play Texas A&M and them hand him the ball. And LSU's defense, nobody could stop him.
Yeah.
I mean, and you're wondering, why is A&M struggling so bad right now? Yeah. Why don't you just hand the ball to this guy every time? And they just didn't do that. And then against LSU, they did.
Well, the likelihood is he'll be back from IR by the time the Cowboys play them in December. Oh, no. So we'll all get a front row seat to see.
Yeah, didn't they open his window this week, if I'm not mistaken?
Yeah, I think so. I think I did read that. All right, let's take our first break. Let's come back. We have a little conversation on the NFL. We'll get to a game here in the third segment. We'll be back. DallasCowboys.com radio.
Todd thought it would be secure to jog in the cheetah savannah. Todd believed the big cat repellent he bought online was reliable. And now Todd is trying to be faster than this cheetah that can run 80 miles per hour. But the good news is Todd has AT&T 5G that is fast, reliable, and secure. And he learned the best thing to do is stop running and toss her the backpack with the beef stew. AT&T 5G. Fast, reliable, secure. It's not complicated.
5G requires compatible plan and device. 5G may not be available in your area. See att.com/5G for you for details.
Cowboys fans, after that move, we've just coined the term Rowdy Replay. Let's roll back the tape.
Okay, there's our mascot Rowdy cheering on the boys. And now he's on his phone, on his Bank of America mobile banking app?
Staying on top of his finances with his virtual financial assistant, Erica.
Bank of America's digital tools are so impressive. Cowboys fans just can't stop banking. Learn more at bankofamerica.com/can't stop banking.
Erica is only available in the English language. You must download the latest version of the mobile banking app, only available on select mobile devices. Message and data rates may apply. Member FDIC.
Welcome back into Dear Doctor, the show where I answer life's questions with an ice-cold can of Dr. Pepper. Sheila, let's hear from our next caller, would you?
Dear Doctor, my friend supported me during a tough time, but what's the right gift that says, thanks for being a shoulder to cry on?
Okay, this one's easy. I say, give her a delicious Dr. Pepper. Nothing says, thanks, girl, better than a one-of-a-kind soda. Yes, any Dr. Pepper flavor will do. Now, just a reminder that I don't need to be a real doctor to know that Dr. Pepper is the one you deserve.
They say champions are remembered, but legends are never forgotten. United Ag and Turf offers a winning lineup of John Deere equipment built to tackle any challenge on and off the field. Legendary John Deere tractors, combines, residential mowers, commercial mowers, compact construction equipment, Gator utility vehicles, and a full line of golf and sports turf equipment. United Ag and Turf, the official Ag and Turf equipment supplier of the Dallas Cowboys. Visit UnitedAgandTurf.com to find a location near you.
Back to the break.
Experience the most electrifying event of the holiday season, Cowboys Christmas Extravaganza. Powered by Reliant. Every Friday and Saturday night from November 17th through December 16th, the Cowboys Christmas Extravaganza. Ignites the star in Frisco with an unforgettable holiday performance showcasing 65 performers, including world-renowned Dallas Cowboys cheerleaders, Santa Claus, and appearance from your favorite Dallas Cowboy football heroes. Visit thestardistrict.com for more info.
Extravaganza.
I wondered if he was going to do it a third time.
Got to do it a third time.
Extravaganza.
Love it. Welcome back. It is the second segment of The Break Live from SWBC Studios. At the Star, the tree's up.
You guys do a good job out there with that.
Yeah, the tree's up, and they got that thing
big
feeling like Christmas.
Big old presents looking out there, yeah.
Feeling like Christmas, so here we go. This segment
is
brought to you,
by the way, for Christmas Eve.
Don't get her to say something on the air that I don't want her to say.
We don't know what the future may hold in store for any of us.
You and Leighton Vander Esch on the same plane right now?
We take it one day at a time. One day at a time. That's the one thing I took from Jason Garrett.
Ah.
Oh, really?
Was it the 17 inches shirt?
Let's move on. That's this segment brought to you by
BlackJeans.com.
I'm so glad you hurried up and said shirt.
I wore the shirt one time in the grocery store and never again.
Yeah, me too. I wore it one time out and then I was like, I'm not wearing this anymore.
That's just not possible. So I don't even know why that's even a thing.
Was that?
Stop. Moving on. This segment brought to you by blockchain.com. All right, let's go. Let's talk about.
I can't wait to ask these questions now.
Oh my gosh. All right, let's talk about the NFL. Let's do what we did last week. We'll talk about the NFC. I have the top 7 teams here. I want you guys to rank them.
Top 7 again.
Yeah, let's we're going to our top 7. Okay, you got Philadelphia at 8-1, you got Dallas at 6-3, you got Detroit at 7-2, Minnesota at 6-4, New Orleans at 5-5, San Francisco at 6-3, and Seattle at 6-3. How would you rank them? Top 1-7.
Philly, Detroit, Dallas, Minnesota. How many I got left?
3.
3. Oh, God. New Orleans is 5-5. I don't know if they're better than Tampa now. I'm going to go Tampa over New Orleans just because I think New Orleans is going to fall apart in the South.
Okay.
Where did I get? I didn't put San Francisco.
You didn't put – I was like, San Francisco down that
far? No, I'm just going down the list.
Oh, okay. I got you.
Okay, wait. Okay, put San Francisco ahead of Dallas.
So you got Philly, Detroit, San Francisco, Dallas. Those are your top 4.
Right. Minnesota – Seattle, Minnesota, Tampa. Just because I don't trust New Orleans. I'm sorry, I don't trust New Orleans.
Got it.
Okay.
Thanks. I didn't go far enough down to the NFC West.
I don't know. This might be spot on with Brian, or I might differ. I don't know yet. Philadelphia. Okay, so Philly number 1. Seattle. Yes, for me, it's always that Seattle.
Come on, you're riding that Seattle train. Keep riding.
It's that Seattle Detroit conversation for me. But the record is the record, and Lions have only 2 losses. Seattle has 3, so I don't care. Philadelphia, Seattle, San Francisco, Dallas, Detroit, Minnesota, New Orleans. Is that 7?
Yeah,
7.
Yeah,
okay.
I just don't trust New Orleans, and I trust them
last
week.
And I don't trust Tampa
anybody
either.
In the NFC.
Yeah. Somebody's going to win that West, and the South, and it. I don't know.
They're going to be a bad team, and whoever is the fifth seed in the NFC is going to have a pretty easy road playoff game, I would think.
Don't trust anybody in the NFC South.
No.
Yeah.
Throw Minnesota there at one like you did last week.
Yeah, come on.
You must know something. They're playing damn
good. They are playing good football.
I was like, last week.
I was making a joke, but.
Last week, I'm like going, oh, she put Minnesota
you just
up there.
You're a big believer. Put it in the universe, right? You just put it in the universe.
You did.
$1 million on my way.
Oh, then you're definitely not going to Miami for the Christmas game if you do that, if you get that.
No, let me hold Philly, something. San Francisco, Seattle. Detroit, Dallas, Minnesota, and then New Orleans. But I still believe Dallas could end up higher. It's just one of those things that we still haven't seen it
earn it
happen, you know?
Earn it.
So we'll see. But we do this on a weekly basis, you know?
Yeah.
Keep moving.
It's all about the week. And every week it can adjust based upon what you're saying, quite frankly. Right now, I still believe Philadelphia is one. I still believe San Francisco is two. I don't think anything that I've seen has changed that for me because San Francisco, as soon as they got their guys back, they went right back to destroying people. And that wasn't a bad Jacksonville team they went and beat on the road. That's a good team, and they destroyed them. I think San Francisco's right up there with Philly. I still think Philly's the best, though. But Philly, San Francisco, then I put Dallas there. Until further notice, I think Dallas is better than Detroit, and I think Dallas is better than Seattle. We'll see, because they'll get to play both of them here in the last month and a half of the season. So I go Philadelphia, San Francisco, Dallas, Detroit, Seattle, Minnesota, New Orleans, or whoever comes from the South. I don't really care.
Just start.
How
about throw somebody at seven like the rest of us do? Why don't you put somebody at
all
seven?
Right, take New Orleans. I'll take New Orleans.
All three of you are wrong about the New Orleans.
Hey, by the way, we absolutely can be, because that's
that's a mess.
They're bad.
Man,
it just reminds me of the NFC East. What was that, 3 years ago? Where it's just like they were fighting for last place and first place.
Remember, we were just trying to finish 8-8 at one point. Like,
to win the division,
we're going
to
win this thing.
Man, I think that's how the South is this year. I don't think either of those teams can really compete with the top six teams in the NFC. I just don't think it's even. There's going to be a better team sitting at home from one of those other divisions. I think Washington matches up well with whoever would win the South. That's how I think about the South.
Man, Washington, they've let a couple of these go. They've let two against Philadelphia go, and they let one last week go.
Yep.
Gosh, I think that could be a little bit.
But you know, you just did. You just made the argument for abolishing the current playoff format with division winners guaranteed, and you just take the top seven best teams.
No, I did not, because I still believe there's value in winning your division. And if you win your division, you should have an opportunity to be in the playoffs. Regardless, you should have an opportunity to be in the playoffs. So I think there is still some value in winning your division. I wholeheartedly believe that.
Patrick, I have to agree with him.
For that.
I wholeheartedly believe that.
I agree. I just wanted to see what you're saying.
I have to agree with them, because there's some times where when I was working and I was just praying we'd get to 8-8 to have a chance. You're just like, please, if we could just finish 8-8, maybe we can win this division.
Yeah,
you know, we're gonna get to play in this thing.
No, I will tell you, I was just curious which side of that train you were on.
Well, I will tell you this: I'm not a huge advocate of them having a home game, though. I do think you can make the playoffs. I think every division winner should make the playoffs. But then I would just seed it 1 through 7 based on your record and tie breaks.
Yeah.
And the top four teams the top team gets a bye. Those other three teams get a home game. And you seed it like that. I think that's a fair way to do it. Just because you win your division doesn't mean you're guaranteed a home, in my opinion. I think you should be guaranteed playoffs. That's
until Dallas wins the division that way, and then we're all like, no, wait, we deserve a home game.
Well, it depends on the city, too. Like, if we're going to a good city, I'll take a road game.
Do you have a problem with going to New Orleans?
Can I ask you a question?
I really do.
Is there a team in the NFC that is more home-dependent than the Cowboys?
Seattle. I look at Seattle, and I think their home field advantage is so substantial that for me, I don't know.
You went 12 straight here, I believe, right?
Yeah, I'm not saying, and you're right. Dallas right now, there is a clear pattern that we've seen develop in them and what they're able to do at home versus on the road. Now, I think part of that could also be who they're matched up against.
Sure.
But that being said, I think Seattle is another team where it really, to me, them being at home makes a difference for them, especially in the playoffs, because that place, we've all been there for games.
Oh, yeah.
And for playoff games, I've been there.
Saw Romo drop a snap and win.
It is loud. And that is definitely a home field advantage. I think that's very important for a team like Seattle, which I don't think is a great team. So for those kind of teams, and maybe you put Dallas in that same category, for those kind of teams that are really good but not great, that extra little bit of being at home maybe makes a difference.
Well,
I think Philadelphia
Orleans
and San Francisco could go anywhere and probably.
Because I know they've had that in the past, but I haven't
not so much anymore.
Kept up
that Drew Brees, Sean Payton era has passed. So that's when they really had that stigma of you didn't want to play them in the Superdome. It's not the same anymore. I was going to say, I give the slight edge right now to the Seahawks because it's not only what Derek is saying, but it's established. It's been that way. It's remained that way. No matter who the quarterback is, no matter what the record is, they are the 12th man is showing up and they are literally shaking the planet beneath the stadium. As far as the Cowboys are concerned, I think the Cowboys are getting there. Mm-hmm. But this is the same Cowboys team that not so many seasons ago, we were wondering where was the home field advantage in Dallas. They did not win as many games at home as they would have liked to. So this season, going back to last season and season prior, 12 straight, you can't ignore it. This season, 160 to 50 point differential, can't ignore it. Best team at home this season is the Cowboys, but you know, overall, it's still the Seahawks slightly because those fans are just nuts.
The thing I always talk about here is if you go on the road and play a playoff game, you're probably going to have a huge fan base in New Orleans, Atlanta, or Tampa. If you had to go to one of those places.
Yes.
Seattle, they're not going to give their tickets up.
Oh, no. Yeah, it's going to be a Seattle crowd.
You'll see the other seats, especially New Orleans used to be a hard place to play. Cowboy fans will find a way to get tickets
there. Do you remember, this was during the Colin Kaepernick era, when the 49ers came to AT&T Stadium and it was a sea of red.
Oh, yeah.
By the way,
that's Seattle.
That's every time San Francisco comes here.
But, yeah.
It's also when we go to San Francisco. There's a lot of Cowboys fans in the crowd. So it's both those franchises, they're going to have a lot of fans.
San Francisco travels. They're almost like Pittsburgh in the way that they travel with their fans. It's pretty impressive how they roll. Houston did that, too. I know it's a close trip. But man.
And for them, that's a huge game. Like for the Texans, those fans, that's a huge game when they get to play the Cowboys just because there's a lot of, you know, that back and forth. Your rivalries happen from the people you got to go to work with and you got to talk to regularly, your friends from college, all that kind of stuff. You got two cities that close together, you're going to have a lot of people that want to come.
We saw that in baseball. The baseball was really
absolutely
good.
Yeah,
I would say the more blue-collar aspect of the Cowboys fandom, if you go back in eras, like Cotton Bowl, Texas State, like that, those types of home fields, that would rival 12th man in Seattle.
Yeah, the
Cowboys at AT&T Stadium, these fans are starting
getting better.
They've been much better. Shouts out to those fans over the past couple of years. We see you, we hear you as we're sitting in the press box. It gets loud up there. But the 12th man, if you're looking at which Cowboys fan era they go up against, you're talking Jimmy Johnson and Tom Landry days.
I'm going to put you guys on the spot real quick.
Yeah.
Just on a real quick question.
Sure.
Because you guys travel with the team all the time. Cowboy fans on the East Coast stronger than the Cowboy fans on the West Coast?
No.
Or West Coast fans stronger.
You said that fast. I don't know if I would be that quick.
There's such a foothold in like California and that side.
But they're also
I've heard them in New York.
Those folks
I
in
get
DC.
It. This is not this is
those folks yeah. in this Philly. Not, those folks in New York. Yeah, like we this, got a bunch of avid. I'm like hardcore fans in that little area right there in on the East Coast.
Eastern Seaboard.
There's a ton of fans.
And by the way, they're fighting for their lives, we got a ton of fans
that are very avid in California and in Arizona. We got a ton of fans out there. Like, there's a lot of fans. That's my point. I wouldn't quickly say either way. I would say both of them are extremely strong.
So let me see what you're doing.
Yeah, because the question I'm answering is...
I don't know the answer on that one.
The question I'm answering is the expansiveness of it, not necessarily... So the expansiveness of it, I would give it to West Coast and California.
California's bigger.
Right, that's what I mean.
Yeah, and look at the numbers. So, like, so I look at the numbers all the time.
That's what I'm talking about.
There's a lot of them on the East Coast, man.
Now, as far as who fights with the, you know, tooth and nail every day, that's the Eastern Seaboard fans. They're up there with the Commanders fans and the Giants fans and the Philadelphia Cowboys fans who have to deal with, Pennsylvania Cowboys fans have to deal with the Steelers on the West and then the Eagles on the East. So as far as the more fiery ones, I would say Eastern Seaboard. The expansive ones, I would say, is on the
way. You look at the numbers, man.
We had a practice against the Rams. We had a practice of the Rams in Oxnard, and the fans were fighting just as much as the players were fighting.
Was that them or was it Oakland? Because I remember both.
The fans were like our players were at the fence, and a guy swung a helmet at, like, I think it was our little corner. I think it was little Brown. Anthony Brown.
I know he got hit with a helmet.
You know, like
I thought for some reason I thought that was the Raiders, but it could have been the Rams.
It was energy.
Both times it was a lot of It was a lot of energy
in
the
crazy.
Crowd.
It is crazy.
The road, I will say, no matter where they are, East Coast, West Coast, Midwest, the Cowboys fans who either travel or live abroad, when they show up, they absolutely show up. And that you got to love that. That's what should hopefully help the Cowboys kind of get their no other way to put it, kind of get their act together when it comes to these road games, because they've not done well at the road, and they don't want this to be the Achilles heel for them going into the back end of the season.
Our European fans are good, too, by the way.
You know, our UK folks
we should go visit them.
Well, they're coming through here for Thanksgiving.
UK folks are coming through for Thanksgiving.
They're coming to the Star for Thanksgiving, and we've already got something set up. They're going to come through and just kind of say hi to everybody. Cool. But, yeah.
No, our European fans are really, really good.
London, Germany. We should go visit our fans in Mexico, too, Azteca. Yeah, we should go.
Yeah, Derek.
Yeah, we should travel.
I got some say in this.
Yeah. There's only one person in here that will sit in a meeting with someone named Jones.
Yeah, and you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to be listening like, yes, Mr. Jones, what are we doing again? Okay, that game? Yeah, we're in. We will promote it.
Derek, have your .com ready to go.
Yes, we will be ready. We got you. All right, let's take our final break. We will come back. We got a little game. Brian's got a game for us. We'll do that when we come back. DallasCowboys.com.
Better
radio.
Be good.
Todd thought it would be secure to jog in the cheetah savanna. Todd believed the big cat repellent he bought online was reliable. And now, Todd is trying to be faster than this cheetah that can run 80 miles per hour. But the good news is, Todd has AT&T 5G that is fast, reliable, and secure. And he learned the best thing to do is stop running and toss her the backpack with the beef stew. AT&T 5G. Fast, reliable, secure. It's not complicated.
5G requires compatible plan and device. 5G may not be available in your area. See att.com/5G for you for details.
Don't put off getting your oil changed, Dallas. Take 5 Oil Change. A proud partner of the Cowboys is faster than you think. There's no appointment needed and no waiting room. Yep, you heard that correctly. Take 5 is so fast, you don't even have to get out of your car. You can take advantage of Take 5's fast, friendly, and simple service at any of their locations across the Dallas area. And remember, at Take 5, you stay in your car because they're faster than you think. Take 5, the official oil change of the Dallas Cowboys.
It's the official men's skincare brand of the Dallas Cowboys, Jack Black. And right now, Cowboys fans can get 15% off their $75 order. Plus, because every deal needs a playmaker, your order will include a free 5-piece skincare set and free shipping. The Jack Black Playmaker is 4 of Jack's favorites and a full-sized intense therapy lip balm. Make a play for the Playmaker at getjackblack.com/cowboys with the code CowboysVIP. That's getjackblack.com/cowboys with the code CowboysVIP.
They say champions are remembered, but legends are never forgotten. United Ag and Turf offers a winning lineup of John Deere equipment built to tackle any challenge on and off the field. Legendary John Deere tractors, combines, residential mowers, commercial mowers, compact construction equipment, Gator utility vehicles, and a full line of golf and sports turf equipment. United Ag and Turf, the official Ag and Turf equipment supplier of the Dallas Cowboys. Visit UnitedAgandTurf.com to find a location near you.
Back to the break.
Get a framed, worthy family holiday photo with Santa at the Star presented by Monument Realty. Santa Claus will be at his Cowboys-themed cottage in the Star District from November 17th through December 24th. Book your visit before December 9th and save $5 with the code STAR5. Visit thestardistrict.com/Santa for more info.
Welcome back. It is the final segment of The Break, live from the SWBC Mortgage Studios at the Star. Brian's got a game for us. Brian, go.
All right, Derek Eagleton.
Oh, gosh.
Mm-hmm.
Is Deron Bland the second best defensive player on the squad?
Yes. He is the second best defensive player on the squad as of this moment. Now, I'm not making a bigger, because if you want to talk about overall in their career, Tank is still number two in my opinion. But as far as how he's playing this season, yes, he is the number two most productive player on this defense.
How about you, Patrick?
Yes.
Oh, Ambar? Either one?
Yeah, it's just a simple answer. Yes?
Yes?
See?
No qualification matter.
I mean, yes, it's not fair sometimes to look at only stats and only flashy plays, interceptions, or how many you return.
Oh, but I got more than that.
But you don't have to.
Hold on. I'm saying in some instances, because you mentioned a guy like Tank, he may not have those stats, but we know 100%. How much he affects the game and what he creates for other players. So you got to look at that. But even by looking at that, I totally agree. It is a guy like Deron Bland. What he's done starting his career till now, and even this season so far, has been absolutely amazing. Something that I haven't done, I haven't seen since I started working here with the Cowboys. So he's been nothing but great.
Is Tank the closest to, if you had a comparison? I mean, if you, is it Tank?
Well, Osa is kind of.
No, you know what? Can I give you another one? I'll give you another one that everybody doesn't give the same love.
Oh, now you're thinking of all these really good answers here. Where were you the first time around?
Hankins is, he is quietly having a great season. Like, you watch him in this last game.
Oh, no.
Like, he was making things happen that you wouldn't notice unless you were watching it in slow motion. Like, oh, that happened because he was there. Like, he is having a really, really, really great season. And I don't know if he's going to get the same love that other guys will get, but he is having a great season.
The nose tackles rarely do.
All right, they don't.
My answer is yes, Bland, as we have this conversation. It's the second best defender for all the reasons Ambar and Derek said. And I'll add to this, of course, when you look at what Bland has been thrown into as far as, he was a breakout guy as a nickel guy as a rookie. He's looking to take the second-year leap, but he was looking to take that year, that leap as the nickel. Mm-hmm. But then you lose Diggs, and now he's putting Diggs' role in. Those are some serious shoes to step into. What does he do? He just picks it up and runs like there's been no hiccup in the giddy up. So you put all of that into perspective, and you got the flashy numbers, the interceptions. That's the flashy number, right? That's what everybody's looking at. What they're not looking at is the fact that he has the lowest passer rating when targeted since entering the league over this past year and a half. So when you add those quiet stats to the flashy stats, and then the context of what he's been asked to do, absolutely.
This season he's number one in that stat across the league. Cornerback in the league.
That includes Sauce, right?
That includes
Okay,
Sauce.
Okay, so I was just double checking. For those that know, I ask.
Yeah, he's definitely, right now, he is the, statistically, he is the best cornerback in the NFL.
Were you guys ever nervous at all about him taking over from Diggs?
No, I was worried about the slide. Yeah. If he slides up, then who slides after him?
Right.
And although I believe in Jordan Lewis as a good player, I was still a little bit concerned. Like, I'll put it like this. Those three that were there before versus the three that are there now, I thought there was a difference. And that was what I was more concerned about, not so much Bland himself.
Yeah, I didn't have any concern over his ability. My only concern was what would the expectation be? Because great news is he is putting up the flashy numbers in addition to the quiet numbers. But if he were not putting up the flashy numbers, how would people be fair in their analysis of him? And I don't think that they would be, because they say, well, Diggs would have X amount of interceptions by now. Bland has shut all that up. So, he's doing this thing.
Agree.
Nice.
AG.
Yeah, start with AG.
AG, are you concerned that Micah Parsons might be slowing down? Because last year at this time, remember we had a thing where Micah went on a little bit of a run where there weren't the sacks. He plays for such a high level for such a long time. You know, we're, 11 weeks now into this about to be. Last week, we talked with Dan Quinn, was talking about maybe they schemed against him. I think he got a little frustrated in that game, watching the individual plays that he had. But you worried about Micah Parsons slowing down a little bit.
What has been my concern with him since last year wouldn't necessarily be the physical aspect of it, the skill or anything like that. It would be more the mental aspect of things. Him allowing himself to get too frustrated with maybe not getting enough sacks or being the main star and flashy player on the defense. And we know how much he likes that. And it's just that. We've seen it in the past last year when he's not mentally focused, his game just goes like scrambles, you know. He's just, you can see him not being the same type of boom immediate reaction type of player. So I would say more that, and that is taking effect because of his role having to help a linebacker, and those changes that are happening now. And I would assume that kind of stays the same as the season goes, now that we heard the news with Leighton not being able to come back this year. But I would say as long as he stays mentally focused and not keeping an eye on stats and sacks and defensive player of the year, if you're just a team player and keep doing your job, because regardless, you're going to keep attracting guys on you. So your presence in there is so valuable.
Right.
But yeah, I That's the only thing I would say. It's the mental aspect of things.
Ambar hit all the nails right on the head. I don't think he's slowing down. As a matter of fact, statistically, in some categories, he's speeding up. Going into the Giants game, I haven't checked after the Giants game, but he's had the fastest get-off of his entire career. I think it was 0.70 seconds. So he's quicker, he's faster. But to what Ambar is saying, even before the loss of LVE, he was being moved around across the offensive line, or defensive line, I'm sorry. You saw him lining up on the edge. You saw him at three. You saw him at zero. But now with the loss of LVE, now he's being asked to do some linebacker duties, kind of off ball as well. But ultimately, he's still impacting the game because he has to be schemed against. He has to be planned for. What does that do? That opens up Tank, Osa, Neville, Jonathan Hankins to do his work, Marquise Bell, Donovan Wilson. The list goes on and on. So I don't believe he's slowing down at all. He's speeding up. He's just being utilized in a different capacity than the couple years prior. And yeah, I think when he gets frustrated, it can get to him a little bit and it can kind of show itself on film. But like you said, Ambar, there's so many people, so many dogs on this defense that want to eat Sam Williams. He said, free me. And then he went out there and he got his. So Micah Parsons will mess around and have a four-sack game against the Carolina Panthers, and we won't even have this conversation. So, yeah, he's still going at a good tick.
I wasn't able to look it up. I was trying to pull it up. But going into last week, Micah Parsons still was number one in the NFL in quarterback pressure percentage.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I don't know that that's changed or not. I thought he had some pressures in this last game, even though he didn't get any sacks. But that being said, no, I'm not worried about him at all. I kind of agree with Amber. I get more concerned with him starting to mentally look for the sacks and the stats more than he should. And that forces him to make mistakes and not do the things the defense requires him to do. That's what I'd be more concerned about, but I'm not even really concerned about that right now. I predict this weekend he'll have 2+ sacks,
like I said, and everything will be fine.
Like he's a great player. He continues to be a great player. I don't think there's any reason to. And this happens with pass rushers. It happens all the time. Good pass rushers, they'll have these little spreads of 3-4 games where they may not have any sacks, and then they'll have a game where they have 4. Like it just happens.
You know
like
who said that specifically? It was Tank. I can't remember if it was last season prior. It probably was season prior when a lot of people were calling for his head, and you need to move on from Tank because he wasn't getting the sack numbers. And he said, they'll come. I remember him saying, he was like, they'll come. They come in spurts. Mm-hmm. And not 2 games later, it was a sack, and it was a 2-game sack, and it was a sack, and it was a 2-game sack. So to your point, yeah.
And I'm pretty sure I remembered, I don't remember where I saw this stat, but I'm pretty sure Micah is, if not the most, he's among the top 2 or 3 as far as number of double teams that he sees per game, as far
and
as number of snaps.
Non-called holding penalties.
Yeah, so you also have to put that in context as well. There are going to be these stretches where teams are just like, he will not beat us. Somebody else is going to have to beat us.
Yeah.
And the more that other people get him, like this last game when you get 5 sacks and he wasn't one of them, teams start saying, okay, we might need to pay a little more attention to everybody else. And once you start spreading that out, he gets a couple more plays where he's not seeing a double team, and then he gets his opportunity. So I'm not worried about Micah at all.
Okay. We got one more time for one more question?
Yep. Go one more.
One more. Patrick, Buffalo Bills are now 5-5 and not playing particularly well.
Ain't worried about them either.
Yep.
Sorry.
Are you now more worried about them or the Cowboys functioning in a game in cold weather?
Ooh.
I would say the latter. A good run offense travels. A good rushing attack travels. Cowboys are trying to figure out the rushing attack right now, which is why I have the concern as far as cold weather.
Yeah.
You love the fact that they're lighting up the scoreboard with the passing attack. That becomes a little bit more difficult when that ball feels like a brick being caught. I'm not worried about the Bills right now. Josh Allen is all over the place. They just fired
the ball over a lot.
Right, they just fired their offensive coordinator. They just lost to the Broncos at home. So, I mean, this might be – they're on the precipice of spiraling is what they are. So we'll see what they are by the time the Cowboys get to Buffalo. So I'm not worried about the Buffalo Bills. I liken it to what Mike McCarthy said a couple games ago. The Cowboys are running their own race. This is a good example of them needing to run their own race. Don't worry about the Bills when you get to Buffalo. Worry about you, how you play in that weather, in that environment, with that fan base. Because we talked about the 12th man, Bills Mafia is right up there too.
I'm more concerned about Amber than I am about the Cowboys. Like, we know how Amber feels
in my
about
head,
cold.
I'm like, wait.
Yeah.
Is this snow? Wait,
it's going to be cold. We know that.
How much wind are we talking about? Because sometimes that hits like a blade on your face.
But see, but that's why Miami's there to balance it out. But
I will tell you this. I'm not concerned about the cold. I'm more concerned about if there's precipitation. That's when the running game becomes like really important. Yep. If you get a game, and we've seen those games, you turn on Sunday, December game, and you're in Buffalo, and it's all white. Like mm-hmm. the whole field is white. You get one of those games, you better be able to run the ball. And if you can't run the ball, you have no shot because you just can't. It's harder to throw in that kind, in those kind of conditions. Cold. I think these are professionals. They'll figure the cold out. It's about the precipitation. Yeah. So I think that's what I'm more concerned about. If there's precipitation, I'm more concerned about the Cowboys. If there's not precipitation, I think they're fine.
Yeah, as of today, and hopefully, I mean, they still have like 4 weeks to hopefully improve on this. But let's say there is something like that where the passing game and your sight is now being affected. I don't trust this Cowboys offense right now to win a game relying solely on their rushing
attack. Yeah.
So, yeah, that would be definitely concerning. If there is some snow there or something like that, I would say we're screwed.
Well, here's the other thing to consider. Here's the other thing to consider about that. Right now, Buffalo's in a similar boat. They can't run the ball either.
Yeah.
And if you have both teams going out there and saying, we know you have to run because of the conditions, I don't know who wins that game because I think both teams are going to struggle to be able to run the ball.
Yeah, that's what I'm going to say. I wouldn't say the Cowboys are screwed because the defense, that a good defense does travel as well. So, and when the elements start working against the opposing offense, like we're talking about it probably working against the Cowboys, it's going to work against a turnover-prone Josh Allen as well. Versus a turnover, you know, a provocative.
Saying we're screwed on offense. We're screwed.
Maybe. We'll see.
We'll see. They have 3 weeks to make it.
Tony is getting his showing some legs.
Find the hole.
Rico is. All right. I'm going to stop it. On that note, let's just.
That's a wrap.
From 17 minutes. Right, take us off the air.
17 minutes. We'll be back on tomorrow for another edition of
Take
the
us
break.
Off the air.
For Patrick Walker, Brian Broaddus, and Amber Garcia. I'm Derek Eagleton. This has been The Break. Live on DallasCowboys.com radio.
This has been a production of DallasCowboys.com and the Dallas Cowboys Football Club.
How about this, Cowboys? Yeah!